What's up, Eagle Country? Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoCINCY.com. I am your host, Double T Travis Thayer. As mentioned, appreciate you tuning into the show each and every Monday here at your hometown radio station. Bulk of the show tonight is going to be focusing on high school football season, continuing to preview teams leading up to the eventual start of the season on Friday, August 20th. We'll get there in just a second. I wanted to start with a cool story that I saw about Reds outfielder Jesse Winker, though. The Reds are in the midst of playing some good baseball, had the National League's best record in July. I think it was 16-10 overall. They've gotten themselves within four games of a wild card spot in the National League, and the Reds were just in New York over the weekend taking on the Mets, and anybody that has watched the Reds over the past few seasons knows that Jesse Winker is quite the character. He's a big-time fan favorite for the Reds, but when they're on the road, he likes to wave goodbye to the opposing fans when the Reds win a game and has some other antics along the way. It's all in good fun, but as they were in New York over the weekend, somebody, a New York Mets fan, had a sign that had kind of some vulgar statements towards Jesse Winker, and Jesse chose not to ignore the sign that this New York Mets fan had, and instead actually signed a baseball for the fan in exchange for the sign, because apparently he's been collecting signs this season, especially the ones that have something not so nice to say about himself or maybe the Reds. So this was just an instance where maybe Jesse Winker, by signing an autograph and kind of engaging with that fan, might have turned that fan from a hater into a fan of Jesse Winker. I just thought that was pretty cool and goes to show you the character of one of the fan favorites for the Cincinnati Reds. Speaking of baseball, we were told this a little bit earlier on this afternoon. Didn't get an opportunity to get a whole lot of details about this, but the Harrison Post 199, American Legion Ball, Ohio American Legion State Champions over the weekend. This was played at Beavers Field in Lancaster, Ohio, and the Harrison Post went undefeated in this tournament, eventually won the championship game 6-0 over Napoleon Post 300. So quite the accomplishment for these young individuals from the surrounding area. A lot of local kids on this team. We're going to work to try to get some of those names, kids on the roster, and potentially get them in for crunch time, because this is a heck of an accomplishment to go up to Beaver Field and win the Ohio American Legion State Tournament. We do believe they're going to be moving on to another tournament, which could be even bigger and better things for this particular team. So definitely stay tuned for more information on these youngsters from Southwest Ohio. Major accomplishment there. We wanted to make sure that we at least mentioned it tonight. Moving forward, let's get into football talk. And today, the Indiana Football Coaches Association released their preseason polls, and a couple of area teams find themselves highly ranked heading into the 2021 season. And both of those two teams will meet week one. That's where we'll be at Lawrenceburg as the Tigers host the East Central Trojans. And in Class 4A, the Trojans are going to start the season ranked number 6 behind Hobart at number 4, Mount Vernon Fortville. Hobart at number 5, Mount Vernon Fortville at number 4. Mooresville, who has tripped up East Central 2 years a row in this sectional, coming in at number 3. Bishop Chittard, who was the state champion at Class 3A last year, has moved to 4A. They will be number 2. And the reigning defending state champion in Class 4A, Ron Colley, will start the season number 1. East Central, they will see Ron Colley the final game of the season. That should be a really fun one. And I called it a measuring stick game last week when we had Jake Miners and some of his players in the studio. He said, hey, if you want to call it that, call it that. But it's going to be a great challenge for the Trojans leading in to sectional play. And they will certainly have Mooresville circled wherever they're at in the bracket, as they have a couple losses to avenge against Mooresville, who's been very, very good over the past several several seasons. In Class 3A, the Lawrenceburg Tigers, a little bit higher up in the rankings. Only one team stands above them to start the season in 3A as the Tigers come in at number 2. Danville, who lost in the championship game to Bishop Chouinard last year, they will start the season at number 1. And we have seen Lawrenceburg and Danville play at the regional and maybe even semi-state level over the past several years, or at least they're in the conversation to play each other around there. I want to say actually more semi-state, but these are two teams that could be on a collision course in the south portion of the 3A bracket once we get to the playoffs later on this year. Gibson Southern, Mishawaka Marion, and West Lafayette rounding out the top 5 in Class 3A. No other local teams are ranked to start the season. One team in the region that did receive votes was North Decatur in Class 1A. Of course, they have tripped up Milan the last two seasons in the sectional championship. So North Decatur looking to be one of the favorites again there to get out of the sectional and move on. Milan certainly hopes that they have something to say about that, as do a host of other teams that will be in that 1A sectional. So let's move on and preview some of the other area teams. This year, as you know, here at Eagle Country 99.3, we closely follow East Central, Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, and Milan throughout the season. So one of those four teams will be featured each and every week that we have a live football broadcast. But there are several other area teams that we like to follow and that you're going to hear play right here on your hometown radio station. Among them would be Batesville, Franklin County, Switzerland County, Harrison, Greensburg, Oldenburg Academy, Connersville, Rushville, and Taylor. And I want to take a look at some of these teams and see what they're going to be like this year, or what they're expecting to be like this year. And we'll start with Connersville. There's no order to this per se, but for the Spartans, a 2-7 last year under first-year head coach Justin Jackson. That is a familiar name to a lot of folks here in Eagle Country. He played his high school ball at East Central, has also coached at Lawrenceburg previously before moving to Connersville. And you look at the 2-7 record and you think, well, Connersville wasn't very good last year, but I think you can actually look at the contrary, because of their 7 losses, 3 of them were by a combined 12 points. That was a 7-point opening week loss to Greensburg, only lost 2 points to a solid South Dearborn team, and then a 3-point loss to Jennings County. I do believe my math adds up there. So they were 13 points away from a winning season last year. They did pick up wins over Rushville, who struggled themselves last year. A sectional win over Muncie Central. That was the first sectional win for Connersville since 2012. They have only won 6 sectional games in program history. So Justin Jackson has some work ahead of him to get this program to be a lot more consistent than they have been in their whole entire program history. Connersville, not necessarily known for football, but Justin Jackson wants to change the culture there in Connersville and get this Spartans team to be a team that is not just a get right game or a walkover game for some of these other teams in the area. And entering year 2 under Coach Jackson, the Spartans will return junior quarterback Gavin Pearson. He was an honorable mention all-conference player as a sophomore. Really, his best football is ahead of him. He's going to have this full year and all of next year. So Gavin Pearson is a name to kind of look out for over the next couple of years. He's going to have a couple of his top receiving targets back. Braxton Myers, a 2-year starter who plays some linebacker too, and Braden Pearson expected to do some good things for the Spartans. Chad Owens, Gavin Lynch, Carter Board. Those are the guys that are going to compete for touches in the backfield. They will also star defensively in the secondary. Connersville does run a 3-4 defense. Chance Bendley and Elijah Moore, the solid star players up on the defensive line. Matt Burrows, Gavin Frank, and Carter DeBoard. You'll see those guys at playing a little linebacker as well. Some of the other guys to look out for, if you're out at a Connersville game this year, wide receiver Jeremiah Buchanan and Bristol Wood, DB Dakota Reeb-Somer, and linebacker Brandon Novak, some guys that could step into some bigger roles this year for Connersville. They will open their season on August 20th against Richmond. That will be on the road. Let's take a look at the Batesville Bulldogs. Evan Ullery is entering his 6th season as the Bulldogs head coach. They have gone 29-25 in that time period, but the Bulldogs have suffered 2 straight losing seasons. They were 4-6 last year, 4-7 in 2019. They are going to return a bunch of starters this year. Some of those starters do play both ways, which is not a bad thing, but their quarterback's back. Travis Lecker, he had a big year last year, almost 1,000 yards through the air, had 7 touchdowns, ran for another 344 yards, and scored 8 times on the ground. The big thing for Batesville this year is going to be replacing their 1,000-yard rusher, Austin Pullman, and their leading receivers, Kurt Seifert and Trey Peters. Now, Will Meir, he missed some time last year, but a very talented individual. He's expected to take over at running back, or at least be the guy getting a bulk of the carries. Jacob Meir, Brady Hornberger, Luke Wilson, they're going to line up at wide receiver. Luke Wilson had a really nice season last year. They got Vonley Hunn at tight end, so hopefully for Coach Ullery, he thinks he's got a lot of talent there, a lot of guys to get the ball to on offense, and they do hope to be more balanced this year. They've had a pretty strong running attack over the past couple of seasons. The passing game, that probably needs to take a step forward if you're a Batesville fan, to see them win some more games this year. And that will obviously start up front with good pass protection. They do have senior Chase Hamilton back, who is a really, really quality player. Juniors Blake Hahn and Nick McConnell, some guys that are going to be offering up some good pass protection up front. Defensively, 4-2-5 look for the Bulldogs. We've seen more teams go to this over the past couple of years, but they did give up nearly 30 points per game, so something's got to change there defensively. I think the defensive line should be the strength of their team. Three seniors there, two juniors, Chase Hamilton, Nate Deputy, and Josh Mobley going to be the names you're going to hear a lot this year. Chase Hamilton is a guy that offers a lot of versatility for the Bulldogs. He can line up inside, outside on the defensive line, and can even stand up and play as a linebacker. So it'll be really fun to watch him move around and create havoc this season. Hund, Will Meir, Trenton Royal at linebacker. They did lose Ben Shebler to graduation. He's off to Wabash to continue his playing career. And then Luke Wilson, the aforementioned star wide receiver, he's going to lead the secondary at safety. But some players to look out for Batesville this year. Offense defensive lineman Quinn Steinkamp, safety Alex Murphy, running back linebacker Evan Williamson, and running back linebacker Deacon Hamilton. And the Bulldogs seeking their first sectional championship since 2015. They'll open their season at home against Indian Creek. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Roman Tremba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need, and that is for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Learn more at OrthoCincy.com. I want to talk about the Greensburg Pirates, and, well, that wasn't actually meant to happen, but they are the primary rival of the Batesville Bulldogs, so why not talk about Greensburg next? Another EIAC team that, Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn and East Central, and actually East Central not on the schedule for Greensburg this year, but Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn will definitely play Greensburg. Milan will as well. And last year, this was a team that went 6-5. They did make it to the sectional semifinal. They were knocked off 18-19 to Franklin County, who eventually lost in the championship game to Lawrenceburg. But, excuse me, Scott Moore is back for his 11th season. They've had some good ones there at Greensburg, and they run the spread option attack. That was led by Toby Brogan last year. He was a heck of a quarterback, over 1,400 yards passing, over 700 yards rushing, and 25 total touchdowns. So that will be one of the big question marks for the Pirates this year, is replacing that production of Toby Brogan. So Coach Moore is going to be choosing between junior Sam West and Corbin Matthews to assume the quarterback role. Both were among the top receiving targets for Brogan a year ago. If I had to guess who was going to be the starting quarterback without having actually watched any of their practices or anything, West is 6'5", 190, so he just fits the profile of a quarterback. So my guess is they'll go that way, and that Matthews will continue on as a top receiving target. It's going to work vice versa either way. Oakley Best, that's going to be one of the Pirates' top returning rushing options, 252 yards as a junior. So waiting his turn, now a senior. Looks like he'll get some more touches back there. Fellow senior Tanner Thompson, looks like he'll be in the fold. Jordan Colson and Leland Workman, some other options in providing depth in the backfield for Greensburg. They will return three starters on the offensive line, and I do believe that is very, very important while breaking in a new quarterback. So that's the Greensburg offense. Defensively, they're also going to use that 4-2-5 look similar to Batesville. They do have all-conference linebacker Luke Schumann back, had 104 tackles last year. The aforementioned Oakley Best and Tanner Thompson rounding out that linebacker group for Greensburg. And they are going to be opening their season on August 20th as well, blanking on who they play to start the season. We'll get back to that in just a second. Let's move on to Franklin County, though. 6-3 in 2020. They had a couple games canceled due to COVID-19, and they are still coached by fourth-year head coach Wes Gilman. He himself starred at Franklin County once upon a time, led him to the state championship game in 1995, and that is certainly where Franklin County would like to get back to. They want to be one of those programs that's winning a sectional championship or putting themselves in a conversation to win a sectional championship each and every year. And they did go to the sectional championship last year. They hosted the game, played Lawrenceburg, and I had the fortune of calling that game. And my goodness, the first quarter of that game was about as good and exciting of a game that I had seen in a long, long time. Both teams going back and forth, big play after big play. Franklin County actually jumped out to a lead in that game, and for the Tigers fans in attendance that night, they were probably thinking, oh boy, we might be in for a tough one tonight. Eventually, Lawrenceburg would go on to a blowout win, but the Wildcats certainly have a lot of talent. They did on that team last year, and they will have a good portion of that talent coming back this year. Strong offense last season, good balance, over 200 rushing yards per game, 125 through the air. This year, they will be breaking in a new quarterback as Adam Kelly Jr. has moved on to college. He came over from Connersville and gave them a huge boost last year. Other key losses, there's some big names here. Hunter Tishane, my goodness, one of the fastest kids I've seen play high school football. Robbie Parsons, Garrett Ertle, Cameron Smith, Jordan Eversaw, Anthony Moore, those guys battling in the trenches. Josh Bauman was a nice fullback and linebacker for Franklin County, so they will certainly miss those guys. But to get back to their quarterback competition, junior Brady Moorhead is a name some will remember from playing his freshman season. They had an injury to their then senior quarterback. Brady had to be forced into action as a freshman. I believe he did an admirable job in doing so. So he does have some varsity experience. I think he knows what to expect, but you also have freshman Quinn Gilman, the son of Wes. They're going to battle for snaps at quarterback. Of course, Moorhead, like I said, has the experience, but Quinn Gilman, they are expecting some big things out of him, and he's going to find his way on the field one way or another. Whoever starts at quarterback, they are going to have pretty good host of targets and players to get the ball to, because Bridger Bolos is back. He can hurt you in the run game and in the passing game. Zane Reed's going to be another guy that fits into the backfield, and they're going to bring back a very, very solid trio of wide receivers led by Jacob Schatzel, who might be one of the most electric players in the EIAC. Tyreek Carr and Christian Prowse can do some nice things out on the outside for this Franklin County team as well. Offensive line will be a little interesting to watch for Franklin County. Center Braden Back is the lone returning starter, but guys like Ben Becker, Peyton McCreary, Austin Hill, Caden Erfman, Clayton Bolzer, Brendan Coulter, those are going to be some of the candidates to fill those four other spots and step up to be stars in their own right coming into this 2021 season. On defense, all-conference defensive lineman Sam Westerfield is back. So our linebackers, Bridger Bolos, Caden Erfman, and Austin Hill, that is a quite the trio playing there in the middle. And then on the back end with Schatzel playing defensive back, they can make some things happen there on defense. But the freshmen, Quinn Gilman, Brendan Coulter, J.D. Stokes, are some of the other guys that should make an impact for the Wildcats this season. And Franklin County will open their season on the 20th at Newcastle. Rushville, another EIAC team, 0-9 last year under Dan Rector. They haven't had a winning season since 2013, but alumnus Isaac Sliger is going to take over the head coaching position this season. And I do believe for Rushville, this season is going to be a little bit more about culture and identity than it is about wins. You got to build that solid foundation in order to build sustained success. They will have two-year starting quarterback Austin Vance back in the fold. Nearly 1,000-yard passer last year. Can do a little damage with his legs, not necessarily known for that. But big brother Jake, he's gone, however, one of the top playmakers in the EIAC. He had a phenomenal career as a wide receiver, so they will certainly miss his production. They do have senior Adam Sizemore, junior Drew Miller, who will help them in the backfield. A couple other guys vying for playing time. They certainly have size at wide receiver, Alec Evans and Dylan Thompson, both 6'5". So, hey, just throw it up to those guys, see if they can go make a play. Jack Barnes, Harley Fuller, and tight ends Nash Paddock and Jonah Shepherd round out the offensive weapons for Rushville. They do have a three two-year starters on the offensive line. That is definitely a good situation to have with this team trying to build that foundation. Center John Alexander, all EIAC guard Eli McGrath and Devin Richardson will look to lead the charge up front. Defensively, the Lions going to play a 3-4. We talked about Nash Paddock at tight end. He and Nicholas Pavey are the star players up front. Sizemore, Miller, they're going to lead that linebacking crew with Barnes, Fuller, and Evans at DB. And one of the players to watch, according to Coach Sliger, is senior tight end and linebacker Caden Gabbard has really come on strong in the offseason, and they have a slew of sophomores that they're really excited about up there at Rushville, so we'll see how many of those guys can make their way onto the field, get their feet wet at the varsity level, get that valuable experience, and then when they get to be juniors and seniors, maybe they can take over as leaders of the team, and you can start to see that foundation grow and some more wins coming their way at Rushville. They will begin the season on the road at Milan. Milan has certainly beefed up their schedule in terms of playing larger schools. We talked to them a couple of weeks ago. You can go back and listen to their podcast at EagleCountryOnline.com. A few more teams that we want to talk about to round out the show tonight. Switzerland County, it's very, very hard to believe that they are entering their seventh year as a program. Ryan Jessup has been there since day one as the head coach, and I feel like the Pacers have had a decent amount of success considering that they had to start from scratch. They did go 0-10 in year one, but since then you have seen them start to build. They're getting some wins each and every season. Last year they started 2-0, and you're thinking, okay, here we go. The Pacers are going to have their first winning season. Then they went on to lose six of their last seven games. They graduated eight seniors, so there's going to be an opportunity for some new names to star for the Pacers this year. They have Matt Davis and Bryce Turner competing at quarterback. Turner, a really nice athlete there. Gavin Reese and Gabe Jackson at running back. They'll have two-year starter Michael Galbraith anchoring the offensive line. On defense, they lost four of their top five tacklers, but Gavin Reese, who will play some running back, he's back as their top tackler at linebacker. You have Carl Applinalp, Michael Galbraith, others that are going to lead on the defensive line. Roster is loaded with juniors and seniors. They also have nine freshmen that could see time this season. So, again, Switzerland County continuing to build. For them, it's a lot of times maybe about numbers, trying to get as many kids as possible to come out for the team and continue developing those football skills that maybe some of the earlier kids that played in the program missed out on, not having a football program. So, again, they're just looking to continue to grow and build. Winning is nice, but again, this is more of building a culture and a foundation similar to Rushville, and then you can worry about winning maybe a little bit later on down the road. But we certainly wish Switzerland County the best of luck as they enter their seventh season as a football team. They will open at Crawford County. Oldenburg Academy, 3-6 last year under Eric Feller. He has coached them the last three seasons. They went 11-17 in that time. But Feller is out. Brian Mitchell is in. He's a former Greensburg wide receiver who played for the Pirates in the early 2000s. And his goal is to help Oldenburg Academy to their first winning season since 2015. They will have plenty of senior leadership coming back this year. They do have an open competition for quarterback, and that is a very hazy situation right now is the best way to put it. But one of the players they're going to lean on offensively is Caleb Lehman. Back at running back, had over 600 yards last season. He could be a candidate to go over the 1,000-yard mark. He'll run behind three seasoned offensive linemen. They'll play a 3-4 defense, has six starters returning. Abe Streeter on the defensive line. Luke Jersey, and D.B. Spencer, Mack, and Griffin Pitzer. And I apologize if I butcher anybody's name on this show tonight. Opening the season versus Rock Creek Academy, Oldenburg Academy has beaten them 3 years in a row. So a decent chance for OA to get off to a good start in 2021. And we want to talk about a couple of teams from the state of Ohio that we follow fairly closely as well. How about the Harrison Wildcats? Turn up your radios if you're in St. Leon so you can hear this real good. Last year, first losing season since 2012. So the folks in St. Leon actually probably like to hear that. But the folks in Harrison, they are ready for this team to get back to winning ways. And they will have 14 starters returning this year for Coach Derek Rehage. Mason Young is one of them, the quarterback who had a really, really nice season last year, looking to build off that season where he threw for over 1,800 yards and ran for nearly 600 more, 22 total touchdowns for Mason. His top returning receiver is senior Nathan Blank. He had nearly 500 yards last year, six touchdowns. The offensive line welcoming back Alex Peak, who was an all-SWAC second teamer, junior Colin Klein, and sophomores Kellen Dalio and Joe Banks. Should be a pretty good offensive line there at Harrison. They're going to end up paving the way for senior running back Eric Cooper. He really came on strong at the end of last season. Their coaching staff at Harrison really expecting him to be a star player for them moving forward into 2021. A little inexperienced at some positions on defense, but they do have Zach Halusek on the defensive line, 6'3", 260. He'll plug some holes up front. Eric Cooper, Gavin Moore, Aiden McKendrick, they'll be able to roam free at linebacker. And then three seniors in the secondary, Jax Browning, Gage Behrens, and Dawson Haney. And the Harrison Wildcats, they will open up at home against Wyoming on the 20th, week two. They travel to St. Leon for the Battle of I-74. We will be there to call that game week two. Wouldn't miss it, even though we had to last year because these two teams did not get a chance to play, with Ohio going to a six-game schedule last year due to COVID-19. So that is going to be an awesome scene in St. Leon, week two, August 27th, as Harrison comes calling for one of the biggest rivalry games in the area. Really looking forward to that particular Friday night. And finally, Taylor, 3-5 last season. They will have a new coach this year, David Dransman, taking over the head coaching role after the Jackets went 17-42 previously, since their last winning season, actually, in 2014. So much improvement to be made there at Taylor. They do have some very intriguing players on their roster. Senior Harry Hilvert, back after winning CHL Defensive Player of the Year as a junior. He has 150 career tackles and 12 sacks, who also play on the offensive line. Johnny Kearns is a player I'm excited to see. Maybe the most versatile player on the roster. He plays wide receiver, defensive back. He'll punt, he'll kick. You'll see him run the ball. He's going to throw some passes as well. So Johnny Kearns is going to be a fun kid to watch play this year. Mark Snowden will take a majority of the snaps for the Yellow Jackets. Aside from Kearns, you'll see Seth Keith providing a downfield target, as will 6'3 tight end Dylan Lanham. Gage Hall, another do-it-all player for Taylor. It looks like he's going to play running back and slot receiver, split some carries with Hilvert and Leland Jones Royalty. You'll also see Royalty with Hilvert and Grant Booth in the linebacking core, offering up some good versatility and athleticism on the defense. They will play Green on week one of the season. Then Lawrenceburg will come calling on Taylor week two. So some of these Ohio and Indiana schools will certainly be matching up with one another throughout this 2021 season, which is right around the corner. We are coming up this Friday, we will be 2 weeks away. Is that correct? Yes, we will be 2 weeks away from the opener of not only the Indiana high school football season, but the Ohio football season as well on Friday, August 20th. And as we have mentioned multiple times, you already know Lawrenceburg East Central will be our featured game of the week to start it all off. Eagle Country 99.3 will be the official game ball sponsor for that game. So it makes sense for us to be in the booth calling the game as well. Right now, myself and Chuck Thomas penciled in to bring you that game from the pit. We will have a 6:40 pregame start on the 20th, leading up to kickoff right at 7 o'clock. And let's certainly hope we get some good weather for that game and hopefully see a big crowd at the pit, both home and away fans cheering on their teams as the 2021 season is right around the corner, and it feels like it's going to be back to normal or close to back to normal this year, we hope. But really looking forward to the start of the season. Hopefully you enjoyed this high school football preview edition of Crunch Time. We were scheduled to have the Lawrenceburg Tigers program in tonight. Scheduling conflict did not allow that, but we still have a couple more weeks before the season starts to get them in prior to the start of the season. We'd love to have the South Dearborn Knights football team as well leading up to that first game on August 20th. So stay tuned for more information on a future guest here at Crunch Time. And well, if you have a future guest in mind, you can always go over to our website, EagleCountryOnline.com, find the Contact Us page, and let us know who you would like to see featured here, featured on Crunch Time. Once again, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Look them up online at OrthoSensi.com. My thanks to you for listening to another edition of Crunch Time. I got to get in the car and stop talking since I just flapped my gums for 30 minutes. But appreciate you listening. Fun show. We'll catch you next week, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.